Lord, what is this world coming to? What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I, anyone, try to put some on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Welcome, welcome, welcome this morning, ladies and gentlemen, to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day that we focus in on our Sunday school. Yes, it's time again to study our Sunday school lesson. And our lesson today is being taken out of Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 13. That's Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 13. And our lesson is entitled, Ever Persevering Petition. Ever Persevering Petitions. Out of Luke chapter 11, verse 5 through 13. And it reads like this. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Let us pray. Our heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you for who you are. The God who hear and still answer prayers, speak to our hearts now in a mighty way. For it's in Jesus' wonderful name we do pray. Amen. Amen. We have a wonderful lesson today. This is a great parable of Jesus. It's a parable of Jesus. And He's talking about prayer, but persistent prayer, persevering prayer, prayer where you just keep on praying. And now, this is another lesson that we are having on prayer. Last week we had a lesson on prayer, and the week before that we had a lesson on prayer. Last week lesson was kingdom seeking prayer, and that was dealing with the model prayer. That was dealing with the model prayer. And then the week before that we was looking at God honoring piety, and that was dealing with giving as well as prayer. That was praying in secret, and if we pray in secret, God will reward us openly. And then last week we learned about the model prayer or the disciple prayer or a pattern of prayer, how we should go about praying, recognizing God's person, our Father which art in heaven, and then recognizing his program, thy kingdom come, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we focus on the provision. Give us this day our daily bread, the physical provision. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We focus on the spiritual. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And so it gave us a pattern of prayer. And actually, in that pattern of prayer, it's also a lifestyle. You always want to recognize God's person. You always want to recognize his person. And you want to do his program. And so you want to carry out his will and provision. And so it gives us a model for not only praying, but a model for living. We ought not be living for provisions, but we ought to be living for the person of God. Live for the glory of God. Today, we're looking at this ever-persevering petition. And this parable came about because Jesus' disciples saw him praying. And one of the disciples came to Jesus as they recognized, they saw him praying. It said, and it came, verse 1 say, and it came to pass that as he was praying, in a certain place, when he sees one of the disciples, said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And then Jesus taught them that disciples' prayer, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So he taught them that. But then in verse number 5, he put this parable with it. He put a parable with it. Now, this parable that Jesus told, keep in mind what a parable is. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The word parable basically means to lay alongside, to lay something alongside. So Jesus is laying an earthly story alongside a heavenly story, a heavenly meaning. So he's telling this parable. Now, this parable is something that Jesus may have even saw or heard of even as a little boy, because things like this here could easily happen. This could easily happen because people in that part of the world often travel late at night, particularly during the summertime. In the summertime, it would be hot. And they would often wait till the sun go down, and then they would travel. Then they would travel late into the night. And so let's say if they're waiting till the sun go down, let's say 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening, they start their journey. Well, they may not make it there until midnight. And in this particular case, he says that the friend didn't show up until midnight. And when the friend came, he said to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread." Now, don't be thinking in terms of like how we have some misbarred bread, you know, a loaf of bread. Don't think like that. Think more in term of a big hoe cake, a big biscuit, like a big old a big flapjack, like a big biscuit, a huge, about the size of a pan, about the size of a little pan. And so you got this 3 loaves of bread, 3 big flapjack size of a loaf of bread. That would be like a loaf of bread. And the man asked him to give me 3. Now, keep in mind, if they were sleeping late at night, 9 times out of 10, this man didn't have no bread. He didn't have no bread. Because normally, they would fix bread there at their house. They would make homemade bread every day. And they would make it probably around by mid-morning and what have you. So that bread, midnight, if somebody show up midnight at your house, normally they didn't have no bread because they knew that it would be stale. It would be stale. Bread would be stale. Bread can go stale on you really, really fast. You think about it. If you fix some biscuits at 6 o'clock in the morning, what kind of shape you think those biscuits going to be in by midnight? Those biscuits going to be hard and they're going to be stale. And so this man, when he showed up at his friend's house, he told him, the friend on the inside said, verse 7, "And he who was within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut. My children are with me in bed, I cannot arise and give thee." And so this man didn't have no bread. He didn't have no bread. So he went to one of his friend's house to see about getting some bread. But when he get over there to his friend's house, his friend said, "My door is shut." Now, keep in mind, hospitality was a big thing. So we see this man is running around at midnight, going over to his neighbor's house, trying to get some bread. Why? Because one of his friends done came. Now, why is he so desperate trying to find bread at midnight for his friend, for his traveling friend? Because in that part of the world, it was a sacred duty. Did you hear what I said? It was a sacred duty that you provide hospitality. When I don't care what time it is, whether it's early in the morning, whether it's midday, whether it's late at night, when somebody came over to your house, it was a sacred duty to offer them hospitality, bread and water. You at least need to furnish them with bread and water. See, this man, he wasn't asking for a steak dinner. He just needed some bread. And But notice the friend told him, trouble me not, the door is shut. Now, like in that part of the world, most of the time, people would leave their doors open. They would leave their doors open all day long, all day long. And you really didn't have to knock. You could just come right on in because the door was open. But if you came over to somebody's house and the door was shut, then that was their way of saying, I don't want to be disturbed. That was like a shut door was like a do not disturb sign. Like we put out a do not disturb sign. Like when you go to the hotel, a lot of time you want to sleep in, you can take this lit sign and put on your doorknob, do not disturb. Yeah. And so in that part of the world, whenever you saw a shut door, that was a way of letting everybody know, don't disturb me. And so particularly at midnight, you're going to see doors shut at midnight. But this man says, trouble me not, my door is shut. And then notice what else he says, my children are with me in bed, I cannot arise and give thee. Now, keep in mind, they didn't have like 3-bedroom homes like we have and got a living room and a den and a kitchen and all of that. Normally they just have one big room, and on one side of the room they normally had like a stove, and then and if it was winter time, everybody made pallets and they slept around the stove in order to be warm. And sometimes they would just, particularly in the wintertime, they would make like one big pallet, and everybody just sleep together in order to provide some warmth. And so let's say this man is in bed with his 2 or 3 children, and everybody is trying to, you know, sleep close to each other in order to provide some kind of warmth. Well, number one, if a man is knocking at the door, you can see why he want him to get away. Because number one, it's going to disturb the family. It's going to wake up everybody. Number two, if the man have to get up, then he's going to wake up people. Because when you sleeping close to each other, if you got to get out of your bed and somebody's sleeping up under your arm or something, then you're going to wake that person up. So it's going to be hard to get up out of bed without waking up somebody. Now, also, depending on the time of year it was, they would also bring animals on the inside of the house, depending on the time of year it was. A lot of times during the winter time of the year or something, they would bring animals on the inside. They could bring a goat, they could bring a sheep, they could bring one of the animals. They can bring a couple of the animals on the inside. So if somebody is knocking at that door, man, you can disturb not only the family, but you could disturb even the animals. And can't you imagine you knocking on that door and you got chickens in your house? Then you're going to wake up the chicken. You're going to wake up everybody. The chicken, the goats, the sheep. So it all depends. But in this man's case, if he was just concerned about waking up his family, his children in particularly, because a lot of time once you wake up, it's kind of hard to go back to sleep. But notice this man kept on knocking. Notice he kept on knocking. The scripture said in verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he need. Now, notice, this man kept on knocking, and then the man finally got up. Now, notice, he didn't get up based on their friendship. There was another reason why this man got up. It wasn't based on friendship. It was based on importunity. It was based on importunity. In other words, it was based on his persistency. This man would not go away. He kept on knocking. That's why he said, I'm going to get up because you keep on knocking. Not because we're friends, but because you won't quit knocking. And so that man got up and gave him his 3 loaves of bread. Now, Jesus used that parable in order to teach a deeper meaning. What was Jesus really saying? He was saying in verse 9, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Now, in the Greek, the word for ask and seek and knock is in the, I believe it's in the present tense. And it's basically, it's saying, keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. So keep on, keep on. Don't just, see, this man would have never got any bread if he would just knock one time and went away. If he would just ask one time and went away. If he would have just came to his door and said, his door closed and let me go to somebody else's door. No, the only way he got what he needed, the man had to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And Jesus said, that's what we got to do. We got to keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. He says in verse 10, he said, for everyone that asketh, receive, and he that seeketh, find, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open unto him. And notice he says in verse, he wraps it up by saying, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake, in other words? Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion, a spider? If your son asks you some bread, would you give him a stone? No, you give him bread. If he asks for a fish, would you give him a snake? No, you would give him fish. If he asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion, a spider? No, you would give him what he asks for. And that's what he's saying in verse number 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gift unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, what lessons can we learn from this story? Number one, pray unashamedly. Pray unashamedly. That's what that man did. And that's kind of what that word importunity means. You ask unashamedly. Listen, there's never a bad time to pray. See, that man could have easily said, I'm sorry, this is midnight. This is the wrong time for me to be asking this. But that man, he didn't have no shame at all about knocking at that man's, at his friend's house at midnight. He prayed unashamedly. He acts unashamedly, and that's what we have to learn to do. Acts unashamedly. Sometimes people think that, well, I don't want to disturb God. No, keep on acting. Keep on acting. And then that's the second thing. Pray persistently. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. See, anything worth having is worth repeating. Let me say that again. Anything worth having is worth repeating. It's worth saying it to God over and over. Ask for it in the morning. Ask for it at noon. Ask for it at night. Ask for it the next day. Ask for it the next day. And the next day. And the next day. Keep asking until you get it. And then God, the third thing, remember, God always hears and answers prayers. God always hears and answers prayer. That's what Jesus is saying here in verse 10. For everyone that asks it receives, and he that seeketh find, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. See, God always hear and answers prayer. He always hear and answers prayer. Listen. There's no such thing as an unanswered prayer. There's no such thing as an unanswered prayer. Listen, God will either answer your prayer by yes, no, or wait. Yes, no, or wait. And the point of the whole parable is what Jesus said right at the end, verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And listen, if God give you the Holy Spirit, that means he's given you the best. And so if he gives you the best, don't you think he'll give you the rest? Yeah, because the Holy Spirit is him himself. God will give you himself. And if you hadn't received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to do that today. And once you receive Christ as your personal Savior, then God will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. All right, then. So in other words, if imperfect people give good gift to their children, what about a perfect God that'll give good gift to those that ask? All right, well, that's our lesson for today. We hope that something was said, something was done to help you on your Christian journey. All right, now, go to church on Sunday morning and make sure that you go to Sunday school. That's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.